Hello, I'm Teresa Ayers.
And I'm Janet Gallen.
And we're the Love Letter Squad.
Yes, we are. And we are bringing you today another really remarkable story and a love letter that will go with it. And I must say, every week I am so struck by the strength of the human spirit, not just to overcome challenges and come through things smelling like a rose, but to have it in a heart to say thank you to somebody, to be grateful and be loving for the lessons learned and the results. So I'm going to go right to our guest, whose name is Sandra Domingue. And Sandra has been through really a remarkably challenging life and has come to do something remarkable with it. So, Sandra, why don't you tell us about you?
And where you're from, Janet.
And how you grew up and what your life path was.
My name is Sandra Domingue. I am a 28-year heroin addict and came from being domestically trafficked in the Bay Area.
Now, how can you just explain to our listeners what that means and how that happens?
That means that at a very early age, I was sexually exploited mm-hmm. by pimps and a female that was, well, more or less, I guess you would call her a madam.
Mm-hmm.
And was made to engage in prostitution on the street prostitution. And that went on for a number of years. How I came about being trafficked was because I left home mm-hmm. at an early age because of physical abuse.
Where was home?
Home was Oakland, California.
Oh, so you weren't so far from home?
Then. No, I was not.
But you didn't. Were family members looking for you?
Yes, they did look for me and tried to get me to come back home, but I could not endure mm-hmm. the abuse anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I ended up being sexually exploited in the first place. Because in my mind, it was the lesser of two evils.
I can understand that.
To be with a pimp that promised a glamorous way of life, provided my shelter, food, transportation, than to be in my mother's home.
Mm-hmm.
And to be abused. And so I opted to stay.
So with this pimp, it felt to you like you were having some sort of adult life where you were working and keeping your, earning your way and.
Yes.
Earning shelter.
Mm-hmm. Getting my needs met.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't come without more abuse.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It didn't come without being called the B word.
Mm-hmm.
I was never physically beat by them,
mm-hmm.
but I had what you call other girls that were in his, what you call stable,
mm-hmm.
that were being brutalized. Beat with chains, sodomized, and
you escaped that?
And I escaped that.
How?
I escaped it by, I think the majority of the pimps in the area knew my family. And I think they felt it would have been some repercussion.
Oh, good.
Or maybe some filing of charges if they had physically abused me. So I think they feared my grandmother.
Oh, good. Tell
yes.
us about your grandmother.
Oh, my grandmother was an awesome woman.
Oh, I'd like to hear about her.
And she was the glue that held the family together. And she was a hard woman, hard-working woman. She held down three or four jobs at one time.
How old was she when you were in this predicament?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, so nice to have somebody on your side.
My grandmother must have been in her 50s.
Mm-hmm.
at that time.
Did she work?
She worked 3 or 4 jobs.
I'm still thinking about.
She was a hardworking woman.
They were afraid of her. That was so. What were they afraid she'd do?
She packed a gun.
Uh-huh. How fun.
And she packed a gun, and she would step to you with that gun and let you know the law, her law.
And she loved you.
And she loved me dearly. And, you know, everybody in Oakland, she was a very well-known woman because she owned a cafe there in Oakland. So she was very well known. She pretty much had a reputation.
Is she still with us?
No, I lost my grandmother in 05. She passed away.
Mm-hmm. Well, we can tell by looking at you. Our listeners can't, but we can. How dear she was to you, despite the smile on your face.
This is when we need those television moments.
Right.
That
I loved her. I used to think she was mean, but she was just a very firm, as a matter of fact, person.
Mm-hmm.
You
and
know,
if she was mean and she was using that on your side.
She was using that for me, to protect me.
So did you see her from time to time, even when you were in San Francisco?
I saw her a lot.
Oh, good. Okay.
Even after I left home, I saw her a lot.
Did you see your mother, or not so much?
Not so much.
So tell us how the rest of this journey went and how you found your way out.
The rest of the journey went that I stayed involved in prostitution for 20 years. And then my addiction kicked in to heroin.
Mm-hmm.
And I married my John, which was my trick. One of the guys that I used to date, and he stopped me from working. Well, he didn't really stop me, but I didn't have a need to work the streets anymore, and I got away from the pimps.
Mm-hmm.
But I still engaged in prostitution from time to time.
Mm-hmm. And heroin while you were married.
While I was married. Mm-hmm. And I stayed with my husband for 21 years.
That is a long
and
time.
He was not abusive.
Oh, okay.
He might call me out of my name occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
But he was very codependent to me. And I pretty much had my way with him.
So you kept yourself safe in some way.
I kept myself safe.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept me safe. And then after being very down and out, and we were not doing well anymore financially, I finally got weary of the lifestyle. And decided it's time for me to get help.
Good for you.
Enough already.
Good for you.
And I went into a program called Walden House.
Yes. Was that a specific moment that you said weary and enough? Or was that...
It was just... I just got put out of the bedroom by my husband one night.
Yes.
And that was the straw that broke the camel's back.
That's what I was wondering. What did it? Okay.
Put out of my own bed. And
so you went to Walden House?
And I went to Walden House and stayed there for 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I relapsed and went back to my addiction. Stayed out there another year and I came back to Walden House. And 11 years later today, I... haven't gone back to my addiction
good
again.
For you.
And I'm pretty proud of myself.
You should be. What are you doing? Now tell us what you're doing, because what you're doing is just excellent for work.
I am a mental health case manager for the SAGE Project.
Mm-hmm. And SAGE stands for?
Standing Against Global Exploitation.
How did you find your way to them?
One of my peers that I was in Walden House with had also been involved in prostitution.
Mm-hmm.
And Norma Hotelling mm-hmm. founded the SAGE Project. And she wanted to hire survivors of prostitution. And my friend engaged me and asked me to come to SAGE
mm-hmm.
to work and share my experience, strength, and hope other girls and women.
So is that what you started doing, sharing your truth, experience, and hope?
Exactly, and working with women in custody.
And what did you do for them?
We had a curriculum group setting.
Mm-hmm.
I facilitated those groups. And I also worked in the office. Other programs here in the surrounding San Francisco area. Just sharing my story and giving women hope that there is life after prostitution and substance abuse.
And when you talk to these women, do you get some kind of an immediate word back from them? What do they say to you after hearing your story?
Oh, they express how inspired they are. I know if you can do it, I can do it.
That's the key, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
And so is that where you go every day? I mean, that's where you go to
that's
work?
That's what I
you?
Do mm-hmm. every day. Now I'm pretty much, my home base is in the office at SAGE. I rarely get into the community anymore because I'm helping men, women, and transgenders
mm-hmm.
to find housing, medical, helping with immigration issues. And
do you find with everyone who gets rescued out of these awful circumstances and makes a life that is a good and independent life, there's still more people coming in, right?
Oh, it's more and more all the time.
It doesn't seem to be ending.
It's never ending. The people that are broken and hurting out there.
Well, that's wonderful what you've come to do.
Thank you so much.
So let me ask you something. I can see that there were obviously people along your way who helped you into trouble and out of trouble.
Yes.
So looking at your own life from where you sit right now, who would get your love letter today?
I think my mother.
Okay.
Now, would get my love letter.
She's still with us?
Yes, she is.
Oh, good. Okay, I ask that because sometimes people write letters to people who have passed on, and it's a beautiful letter to write also.
Yes. No, she's still with us. And the reason being, Janet, that I would like to write her a love letter is because for so many years I had so many resentments and bitterness against her, and I have totally forgiven her.
Okay, so I want to stop you here for just 1 minute because in the art of writing love letters, Teresa and I talk a lot about, and sometimes we forget to mention it, and I'm so glad you did for that reason, people need to state their goal. You need to know why you're writing this letter. I say need to. It's certainly helpful because it sets you on the right path to writing the most beautiful love letter.
Yes.
So to say that is a really lovely thing, just to start out by stating your goal. And I like the way you said it, and I'm going to take notes for you. I'm going to be secretary here.
Okay.
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 So I'm going to send you home with all these notes. So what do you call her?
I call her mother.
It's your mother. Okay. And I'm writing this to you because for years I had so many resentments.
Yes.
I think that's the word you used. I don't like to be the one to put words in mouth.
Resentments and bitterness towards her.
Mm-hmm. And?
And I think that bitterness and resentment stunted my growth.
Oh, good for you. That's so smart.
Because I was in so much pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I turned that pain inward and hurt myself year after year.
Mm-hmm.
Not understanding why I was treated the way I was. Because in my mind, I was a good girl.
Oh, I bet you were. I bet you were.
And,
I mean,
I was able to talk about and get therapy for what I had experienced, was I able to let it go and move on.
So, but what you said before is that you're able to forgive it.
I was able to forgive her, my mother,
now, what is
and
that
myself.
Okay. What does that mean? I think that's a really important thing, because to write a love letter of forgiveness is a gorgeous and good thing to do. So when we talk about forgiving, what does that mean? I think to say I forgive you, although in your heart that's important, it doesn't really mean so much. So what does forgiving really mean? Teresa and I talk about the specifics that are important.
It really means to me to be able to set aside the hurtful experiences and to, how can I say?
Gosh, you're doing it so well. Just keep right on.
Let go.
Uh-huh.
And let God heal you. To heal from whatever has caused you so much pain.
So I think that's a really important thing that we talk about sometimes, that forgiving doesn't mean condoning it. And
it doesn't
mean ever that you're saying, oh, well, it was okay or
it wasn't
so bad.
Exactly.
Because it wasn't okay and it was so bad, but you're able to say, I'm not going to dwell on it anymore.
I'm not going to dwell on it anymore.
Yes.
I'm going to let it go.
Okay.
I'm going to let it go.
That's wonderful. And while you're at it, in this letter to your mother, is it something that you would want to talk about to say, I know that you did the best you could do, or I know that you were limited by your own, I don't want to say words, but, and do you remember anything good that she did?
Oh, she gave me a stable, safe place.
Did she?
To grow.
Okay.
Because she was always there. She and my grandmother always provided for me. I can't ever remember being without, not having my needs met.
Well, that's really...
In terms of food and shelter.
In terms of
shelter,
food, clothing.
The basics.
What did you call your grandma?
Monkey.
That's so great. Okay, let's do that.
Monkey.
Okay.
Because she used to call me a monkey when I was a baby, a term of endearment.
Sure.
And so I just started early on as a child calling her monkey.
That's so cute. Okay.
Yeah.
So always they gave you stability in what way now?
They gave me stability in always knowing that they were there.
Mm-hmm.
They were there for me.
Meaning you could go to them with problems?
I could go to them with problems. I could talk to my grandmother. I never really had open dialogue with my mother.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when I talked to my mother about this abuse and what I had gone through with her, she explained to me that she was going through a lot. She doesn't really remember it being that bad.
Mm-hmm.
But if she did anything to hurt me, she's sorry.
She has
and
said
I
that.
Think that she said
oh,
that to
I bet.
Me.
Yes.
And I think that helped. That was my closure.
Mm-hmm.
When she said she was sorry, that was my yeah. closure. That's what I needed to hear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I needed an explanation.
When did that happen? When did you have this conversation?
I had that conversation with her when I first went to work with Sage.
Mm-hmm.
Because one day while I was at work, I just broke down and started sobbing.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking about the abuse. And I made up my mind, I'm going to get her on the phone, and we're going to talk about this. I'm finally going to address it with her. I didn't have the courage
mm-hmm.
to address it with her.
Mm-hmm.
And this day I got the courage. It was time.
Mm-hmm.
And we had that conversation on the phone, and I've been okay ever since.
Mm-hmm.
I have forgiven myself. And forgiven
but she,
her.
But she was willing to talk to you.
And she was willing to talk to me about it.
Where does she live?
She lives in Oakland.
Okay, so she's local.
She's in a board and care home now.
Mm-hmm.
I care for her.
You care for her.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, in many ways.
Like she's a little baby.
Yes.
I care for her.
So she was willing to talk about it. Did you ever get the feeling that she was holding this inside her and feeling horrible about it all these years, and she was relieved
yes.
that you could talk to her about
yes.
it? And
it seemed that she always, since we talked about it,
mm-hmm.
has always went overboard to support me in my endeavors.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. As like, you know, a sign of that she wanted to be forgiven.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I'm wondering something else as I'm listening you talk and watching your face as you're talking, that she's always gone overboard in supporting your work now.
Yes.
Do you think that she always somehow knew what you had in you to be able to do the good you had done?
Oh, yes, I think so.
Because you said, I always thought I was a good girl.
Yes.
Well, she must have known that. I think
she knew that.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel that at the time of the abuse.
Well, of course not.
I didn't feel that she thought I was a good girl. I used to sing.
Yeah.
And she would always push me and encourage me to sing because that was her first love. Because she used to be a singer.
Uh-huh.
And she would always push me and encourage me.
What happened to her singing?
I think she had me.
Oh.
And she put it on the back burner.
Uh-huh.
And she never did pursue her career.
Mm-hmm. So she had her own frustrations.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you an only child?
No, I have a brother.
What's his life like?
His life is good now.
Oh, good.
He also experienced an addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks to God's grace and mercy, he has recovered. Is recovering
mm-hmm.
because I guess you never really recover. It's always
a process.
Right. Now, what strengths would you say, if any, that you got from your mother?
I think the strength I got from my mother is being a good parent.
You have children?
I have two.
Oh, nice. Okay.
I have a son and a daughter, and recently a grandson.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Okay. So how did that excuse me come down to you that you learned to be a good parent, the strength to be a good parent from her?
Being responsible.
Mm-hmm.
She's always been a very responsible woman.
Okay. So you have some
and
nice
very
things
dependable.
To say to her. Uh-huh.
And very dependable.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think I got that from her.
Okay. So that's kind of a nice way to close a letter, a love letter, isn't it?
I think so.
Uh-huh.
I think so.
To thank her for
I thank her that. For just being there for me and teaching me how to be truly be a woman of excellence.
Yeah. Excellent.
And very strong. We can tell that about you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yes, I mean, what enormous strength it takes to come out of something that you're doing that's become second nature to you, but it's absolutely horrible for you.
It was absolutely horrible.
Yes. Thank you for coming here to tell us this.
Thank you so much and for having me.
I hope people who are listening to this will know that if ever you are in trouble in this same way, that there is Sage to go to.
Absolutely.
If you need help in coming out of
out of anything, trauma.
Okay.
Trauma, addiction, exploitation.
Exploitation of any kind. That means if you're being held prisoner as a domestic in somebody's house.
Absolutely.
Or you're being sexually exploited or, yes.
Absolutely.
Narcotic, you can call Sage at
415-905-5050.
So if you or anyone you know or suspect might need help, Sandra Domingue is here in that office to talk to you.
Absolutely.
And to help bring you out of the same misery that she found her way out of.
Absolutely.
Well, there's others. Is this a 24-hour number?
No, it's not. We're open 9 to 5 Monday through Friday.
So get your call in early, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Thank you, dear.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. And we thank all of our listeners for joining us today. As always, you can find us here every week at this time and hope you'll join us. You can also catch us on our website. All of our previous programs are there, www.lovelettersquad.com. And we remind you, please, to put your loving thoughts into words and write them down and send them today.
Yes, and while you still while you still have the chance, and also we like to remind our listeners and everyone in the world to remember that if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, that writing a love letter is a special occasion of it's huge. It's a special occasion all its own. It is your chance to put your best self on paper. And I can see in a letter like this to a parent, when you let a parent off the hook, somehow you let yourself off the hook also, don't you think, Sandra?
Absolutely.
Any hook you keep someone else stuck on, you're there too.
That's right. That's right. Thank you for saying that, Janet.
Right. A love letter really is a gift to yourself as well as to the other person.
Yes.
So with that, we will say until next time, this is Teresa and Janet
saying goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.